The following hour is brought to you by Midas Resources, your trusted source for precious metals. Call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237.
The meeting that is being convened at Andrews Air Force Base later today is with about 21 of the U.S.'s partners in this broader international coalition against ISIL. We've been pretty candid about the fact that this is a longer-term proposition, and it's predicated on something that necessarily does take a long time, which is building up the capacity and capability of forces on the ground to take the fight to ISIL.
Josh Earnest, the voice of the White House at the Daily Briefing, talking about ISIS and, quite a while. I heard that a few times. That's kind of prepping us for the bad news that this is no short of fair. Neither is this show, lucky for you, right? Kate Delaney, America Tonight. So ISIS getting massive gains with the airstrikes hitting the Islamic State fighters, basically surrounding one of Iraq's largest air bases. And, you know, we're talking about the Anbar province. And they are preparing to launch an attack on that main military base, and there is just no stopping them. The men in black, the evil men in black, keep pushing hard. To me, the scariest proposition, and I've said it right from day one, is the idea that they could get to Baghdad. Baghdad would be a disaster, but still, surrounding one of the largest air bases, that's not good. Launching an attack on the air base. I mean, Anbar is overrun with ISIS. They've been trying for months to take it over. They want their Sharia law, that strict Sharia law, to be in every nook and cranny in that part of the world. And they're doing a good job of it in that province. So the coalition forces are trying to fight back, but ISIS is in the great position in Iraq with rocket launchers and tanks in the villages, south and east and everywhere you look. There are no boots on the ground, pretty much, when it comes to the coalition attack. There isn't. It's airstrikes. The president said he's focused on the fighting taking place in Anbar, and is saying airstrikes are going to continue there and elsewhere. And the emphasis, again, is on long-term campaign, no quick fixes. He was at Andrews, and he met with military leaders from 22 countries who are part of the coalition project, campaign, if you will. And he says this is the early stages, just like you heard Josh Earnest say there, and that they're going to keep doing it. They're going to keep progressing, and there's going to be setbacks. But they're united. 60 countries, by the way, are part of the coalition. 60. In Baghdad, in the meantime, two car bombs explode, one on Monday, one on Tuesday. One targeted a police checkpoint in a Shiite neighborhood. Four people were killed, 12 others injured. The car bomb was driven by someone on a suicide mission, go figure. And that checkpoint, that was the idea, take it down, one of the entrances to the neighborhood. Of course, ISIS immediately releases a statement claiming that the attack killed a member of the Iraqi parliament. So Baghdad is still kind of calm, but there are plots against Baghdad. They're advancing from the west without a doubt. I mean, they're taking more and more territory. They're moving ever so closely to Baghdad. Meanwhile, what about Syria? In Syria, ISIS fighters bombed and blasted their way through Kobani. Lots of smoke, gunfire, what you see in their wake. Coalition air power, now aided by Saudi Arabia, was focusing pretty intently on Syria. And the U.S. Central Command said that they had bombarded ISIS near Kobani using bomber and fighter planes and 21 airstrikes that destroyed two ISIS staging locations. Well, that's good. A building, a truck, and two other cars, and damaged some other property. And the idea is these are preventing the group from resupplying and reloading combat power on Kobani. So it's all coalition in the air all the time when they find the spots, when they hit the spots. But on the ground, different situation. ISIS is putting up the fight. They don't have anything to stop them. And we told you about Turkey. And we told you about the idea that Turkey would allow the U.S. and the other coalition members to use an airbase and territory for training. And Turkish folks responded back and said they hadn't decided whether to allow the use of the airbase. Sounds like there's a communication problem. Yes, Turkey, you can use, Turkey says you can use the base, but then they say, well, no, well, we did we say that? Secretary of State John Kerry says that Turkey is still committed. So somebody got cold feet in between this. Are they really going to host and train and equip people? Are they going to allow certain uses of certain areas? Are they being nitpicky about it? Turkey wants to remove Assad. They've been fighting their own battle with Kurd separatists inside Turkey. They launched strikes against Kurdish positions within Turkey. It's a mess. The quicksand of the Middle East from day to day, especially with ISIS in full force, we keep hearing, oh, well, it's not that big of a threat, except for that the campaign is going to be a lot longer than we thought, and we'd have no boots on the ground. So we think we're hitting certain target areas, but then they're pretty forceful on the ground, too. What? It's kind of a crazy doublespeak is what we're getting. Coming up on this Hour of America tonight, a conversation with Jane Velez Mitchell from Headline News about the crazy Jody Arias trial. And after going through that, now this sentencing phase, well, it's not really a sentencing phase, it's picking a new jury to decide whether or not Jody Arias gets the death penalty. Is she going to not get the death penalty? Is it what's going to happen from there? It's a crazy, crazy another moment in a series of unbelievable things that have happened this entire time. And then we're going to introduce you to somebody who's written an incredible book that's being brought to the big screen, Kill the Messenger. Nick Sokow joins us. He wrote that book. He wrote the book about an incredible journalist who exposed some unbelievable things that were happening. And when I say unbelievable things that were happening with drug kingpins and the CIA and other nefarious types, and tying it all together, and a lot of people that wanted to see that story go away. You got CIA, Contras, crack. Remember the series Dark Alliance, Gary Webb? Well, that is what Kill the Messenger is about. It's about Gary Webb. Jeremy Renner, in fact, plays him in the movie. So that's coming up. We're going to have that conversation. Stay with us. Have you ever heard of a pharmacist who discourages the use of most prescription drugs? Well, pharmacist Ben Fuchs is that person, and boy, is he fascinating. He's a nutritional pharmacist and skincare specialist who operates out of Boulder, Colorado. And to hear this man speak is nothing less than inspiring because he's charismatic and makes a lot of sense. He asks, why take dangerous drugs when all your body needs to stay healthy is all natural with no side effects? Pharmacist Ben sees the human body as a healing and regenerating system, divinely designed to heal and renew itself on a moment-to-moment basis. cases, but it needs nutrition and nutritional supplementation. Ben says you've got to be on a nutritional supplement program if you want to be healthy in 21st century America, and he wants to help people get off the toxic drug treadmill and get on a good nutritional supplement program. I support what pharmacist Ben is saying and doing to help America get healthier, and I urge you to watch and listen to Ben deliver his powerful message at your convenience. Just go to AmericaTonightTeam.com. That's AmericaTonightTeam.com.
Adam Miller here with Midas Resources. Today, October 8th, 2014, gold opened at $12,1880. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $12,6360, $631.80 for a half ounce, or $315.90 for a quarter ounce. That's $12,6360, $631.80, and $315.90.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? Wait a sec. Gold and silver is going up while Congress is trying to settle on the next debt increase. And there's no end to this madness. That old 401k and IRA can be converted into physical gold without tax consequences. I explained this in my book, 10 Reasons to Buy Gold. Don't let time slip away. Call for your free copy today, 800-686-2237. Get away from that Washington spin and get honest answers about gold. 800-686-2237. The book is free, 800-686-2237.
So we decided to upgrade the look of our home.
You know, improve the curb appeal.
We decided to add the look of stone to the exterior.
We really like the stacked stone look.
Yeah, but when I checked into the price, it was ridiculous. No way could we afford it.
Then a friend told me about Genstone. G-E-N-S-T-O-N-E.
Genstone comes in lightweight panels made of polyurethane. They've actually engineered the hassle out of installation. No mortar, no mesh. It was easy. Even I could do it.
We just screwed the panels to the wall and it looks like stone. I mean, it really looks like stone.
Yeah, from the box to the wall in minutes.
We love the look of our home now.
And Genstone is durable, comes with a 25-year warranty, and offers additional R-value for insulation.
If you want the look of stone at a price you can afford, call Genstone.
At 855-955-STONE.
Trust me, you'll save money.
And you'll love the look.
855-955-STONE. That's 855-955-7866.
Continues as far as the attorneys with the jury pool selection process for this upcoming Jody Arias death penalty trial. Many of you have called to throw in your two cents. It's a pleasure to welcome back to the show award-winning headline news television journalist Jane Velez Mitchell. She's the author of a great book, Exposed, The Secret Life of Jody Arias. Jane, thanks for coming back on with us.
Thanks for having me on.
So, as you're watching this unfold, what are you thinking about what the attorneys are going through with this jury? I mean, it's such a big deal, obviously, because this is the ultimate, this is the ultimate moment before the state versus Arias in the penalty phase of this whole retrial. And I'll tell you after the retrial.
Is dysfunction junction. You've got a judge, I believe, doesn't want to see this happen. I mean, it's already cost taxpayers $2.5 million just for Jody Arias' defense. And that's not even with the penalty phase retrial starting. And you've got a lawyer who doesn't want to represent his client, Kirk Dermy, Jody Arias' defense attorney. Her lead attorney has asked off several times. You've got a defendant who's a pathological liar. I have to question the wisdom of even doing all this. I mean, really, when you think about it, even if she does get sentenced to death, it's going to be years, maybe decades before that happens. She would have easily been sent away for life. So, you know, I personally question the wisdom of this because I think Prosecutor Juan Martinez, and I'm a big fan of his, did a great job convicting her. But I think he could snatch defeat from the jaws of victory because all they need is one person to say, I can't put her to death, and then it's done.
Yeah. And we've seen this before, obviously. Do you think it's tough? Is there something about a woman who could possibly charm jurors, et cetera, that makes a big difference in cases like Jodi Arias's?
Yeah, I think it's harder to sentence a woman to death. Frankly, women are so statistically nonviolent that I spoke to some experts in the death penalty, and they say they don't really have enough figures to really accurately measure whether there's a gender bias, the way they have been able to measure that there's a racial disparity in death penalty sentences. So I think our gut tells us, though, a pretty young woman is harder to sentence to death. Yes.
Yeah. As you said, you like what the prosecutor did, but you don't understand this part of it. As you said, it could blow up the whole thing. Were you surprised that this happened?
No. You can understand the anger. In my book, Exposed, The Secret Life of Jodi Arias, I outline the diabolical behavior of this woman, which really, of so many defendants that I've seen over the years, takes the cake. I mean, this is a woman who not only slaughtered this guy, stabbing him 29 times, slitting his throat ear to ear, but then she proceeded to assassinate his character for 18 days on the witness stand. I can understand the family saying, I want her gone. I can hypothetically talk about, well, the death penalty isn't the answer and you don't solve violence with violence, but I luckily haven't been the victim of losing a family member. So yeah. I can understand where the family's coming from. But really, if you want to get a really big picture of this entire case from beginning to end, read my book, because it is the definitive story, and we have a lot of information in Exposed that did not come out of trial. For example, that she had stalked another guy many years earlier in exactly the way she stalked Travis Alexander. She painted herself as a normal woman until she met Travis, and nothing could be further from the truth. There's also a creepy single white female style imitation thing that she did with the ex-wife of her previous boyfriend. She had a lot of creepy behavior before she ever met Travis.
Yeah, and you talk, as you said, I read the book, and you tell that in great detail. It's awesome, really. You really hit it out of the park with this one, I have to tell you, Jane. I read it from cover to cover when I was going away, and was on the plane, boom, got off, and was still reading it. And you emphasize that. You emphasize, wait, listen, there's a history here. You got to know about this history. And you had great accounts from all those friends who knew both Jodi Arias and Travis. And I bet when you were doing the research for this, at times was it kind of jaw-dropping?
Yeah. I mean, some of the things that she did, I'll give you one example. After she slaughters him, she drives off into the desert. And then she calls and leaves a voicemail and says, hey, a friend of mine and I are going to Shakespeare. We're going to see Othello. You want to come? Who does that?
I agree with you. Any chance do you think that they're going to have any kind of a plea deal here, a potential deal?
You know, when it comes to Jodi Arias, never say never. Anything's possible. I have no idea what could happen. You could have a postponement on the 11th hour. It happens all the time in this case. I mean, remember, Travis was killed in 2008, now 2014, heading into 2015, and the penalty phase of retrial hasn't even started. So I would say when it comes to this crazy case, never say never.
Yeah, and you certainly, in your career, you've covered them. Was this one of the craziest of all of them? Would you rank this at the top of the list?
Well, each trial is crazy in its own way. O.J. Simpson, Michael Jackson child molestation, the Conrad Murray, Michael Jackson death trial, Casey Anthony, George Zimmerman, Robert Blake. They were all crazy in their own ways. But this one, I have to say, yes, it will. Some portions of this trial will flash before me in my deathbed.
I like that. All right. Always fun to have you on the show. Jane Valente Mitchell. Pick up her book. It's great. Expose the Secret Life of Jodi Arias. Thanks, Jane.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. Bye.
Bye-bye. All right. So interesting to have Jane on the show because she was there for that whole trial. And in her book, she does tell all these crazy stories you had no idea about. So the troubled, obsessive, crazy love affair between Jodi Arias and the motivational speaker, Travis Alexander, who she killed. And as Jane said, in 2008, you got to think of that, too. Arias was 28 and shooting Alexander, who's just 30 in the head. She described part of that. She stabbed. You got to think about this, folks, in case you forgot what she did. She stabbed him 30 times, slit his throat. She was convicted on the murder charge in May of last year. And this was a huge TV trial. There is no question about that. So now with this retrial that's already started, and they expect that this is going to last probably until mid-December, they're in that process. Could go longer if they don't hurry up with this potential jury stuff, because they got at least 300 potential juries that they're going through. And, you know, they're filling out questionnaires. Do they have the time? You know, the whole life and death decision thing. That's the kind of stuff these the jury is actually looking at answering in these questions in this in the pool. So now that that's started and they're looking at the prospective jurors and how long will this trial last, when they're saying handicapping and say December, like I mentioned, I think there's a chance it could even go longer than December. But the jury is just deciding whether she gets the death penalty or life in prison, because she's already been found guilty of first-degree murder by the first jury, which also determined the murder was committed in an excessively cruel manner. So check this out. In Arizona, under state statute, the cruelty manner of the murder is a big factor that qualifies Arias for death. But what's interesting is, like Jane and I were talking about, if they don't even have statistics because it's so rare, although it has happened. In Texas, it's happened a few times. There are women that have been sentenced to the death penalty and have been put to death, but it is very rare compared to men. And crazy enough, Arias is not representing herself in the second trial. She considered it, and to try to get the her attorney off the case, but that didn't happen. And this time around, it's not going to be the big headlines as far as the live streaming of the trial. There's no video coverage, none of that kind of stuff. So that whole circus atmosphere, I think, of the first time around will really change. There's no video or audio can be aired until the trial is over. I think this makes a huge, huge difference in this penalty phase of what the jury is going to decide on Jody Arias. And I think it's going to be tough, though, to get that jury, because how do you find somebody who can actually weigh that life and death situation, right? And they can honestly say they're not swayed if they're still looking for that. If you remember the first trial, there was massive. I just watched it here and there, and it seemed like every time I tuned in, there was just massive objections from both sides. Massive. And the courtroom was so crazy crowded. And then Arias would say amazingly nonsensical things at times. It really was, I think, one of the most chaotic court proceedings. And I didn't watch this end to end, but even in the short time that I checked into it or when I looked at the clips afterwards, it was one of the nuttiest things I think that I've ever seen in a courtroom. So what happens now and how they pull the story together and what they decide, I'm going to say there is a good chance they may not get the death penalty. All right, stick with us. More to come here next on America Tonight.
On Facebook, on the news, and in conversations with friends, we're bombarded every day with advice on how to be healthier, from gluten-free and non-GMO diets to how much exercise and sleep the body needs. But how much have you heard about alkalizing the body? AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are a holistic and natural way to get your body's pH levels back in balance. Just a few drops in water will help your body rid itself of harmful waste, and even the healthiest of diets can be complemented with your daily use of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops. Who isn't looking for more vibrance, vigor, and energy? Now buy two bottles of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops and get $10 off your order. Visit AlkaVision.com or call 800-518-7615. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops are packed with a powerful combination of the most alkaline minerals and compounds. Open the door to greater health, vitality, and zest for life. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health. Call 800-518-7615 or head to AlkaVision.com.
Great minds think alike. The network for the independent minded. The Genesis Communications Network. GCN.
Yeah? Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going and what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Don't complain about your cable bill going up and up and up. Do something about it. Grab a pencil and jot down this special number. 1-855-905-MY-TV. The more cable TV rates go up, the better digital satellite TV looks. Say goodbye to the cable guy. And get more of your favorite channels in 100% digital quality for less money. Call 1-855-905-MY-TV. Sign up for packages starting as low as $19.99, and there's no equipment to buy. You get free HD TV upgrade, a free DVR upgrade, and free professional installation. You control what you watch when you watch it. Record your favorite shows. Pause and rewind live TV. Even skip the commercials. Watch local channels too. At just $19.99, what are you waiting for? Pull out your major credit or debit card. Call 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV. Say goodbye to the cable guy. Cut costs and get more. 1-855-905-MYTV. 1-855-905-MYTV.
What good is a Big Berkey water filter?
We get that question a lot here at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. And in a word, the answer is protection. Protection from water main breaks, E. coli contamination, environmental chemical spills, pesticide runoff, chlorine taste and smell, and all forms of fluoride. Plus, Big Berkey water filters are the original gravity water filter system and most trusted on the market for a reason. Tested by multiple independent NSF EPA certified labs, they are the gold standard in water purification. At only 1.7 cents a gallon, a single set of filters can last for 5 to 10 years. That means big savings. Big Berkey, the one that's powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water. Get a Big Berkey today at BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. GCN listeners receive 5% off all ceramic filter systems. Visit our website or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 877-99-BERKEY. Big Berkey Water Filters, for the love of clean water.
This book, and this book is awesome. And now we got a movie coming out. Nick Scow is in our virtual green room, if there is such a thing, and he's the author of the book Kill the Messenger, which this new film is based on, that's coming out starring Jeremy Renner. It opens up, I think, this week, and it's the true story of journalist Gary Webb, who had the Dark Alliance series in the 90s, if you remember, that was linked to crack cocaine in L.A. and elsewhere to some other drug traffickers, along with the CIA's Contra Army in Nicaragua. Nick, thanks for coming on the show.
Much appreciated. Thanks for having me.
All right, so for you, let's roll back to Kill the Messenger and pulling that book together. Man, it must have been wild weaving your way through some really dark corners. What was that like, pulling that together?
Well, in some ways it was easy because at the time Dark Alliance came out, I was a young reporter here in Orange County, and the story had unfolded. In my neck of the woods, there was a ex-Orange County police officer that somehow got wrapped into this drug ring. So I had actually reported on it at the time. And, you know, I saw what happened with Gary's story, how it kind of got out of his hands, how it got spun in different directions, and his career was destroyed as a result. So ultimately, when he committed suicide, I felt like, you know, this full story needed to be told, and that's why I decided to write the book.
Yeah, and when you talk about the full story, and you talk about ultimately Webb and taking his own life, was it just that he was overcome with what he had, you know, been in the middle of, or what was it that ultimately led to that?
Yeah, well, you know, Gary's story quickly turned him into a celebrity, but after the nation's biggest newspapers ganged up on him and then went through his entire career seeking to sort of discredit him, he basically got hounded out of journalism. He never worked in daily journalism again after that, and it led to a sort of a downward spiral in his life. And so my book was, you know, an attempt to kind of reexamine the story, what it got right, what it got wrong, and his entire career, what kind of a reporter Gary Webb was, and what this says about the state of journalism in America. And so, for sure, there were, you know, complicating factors that led to his demise, but the biggest event in his life by far was Dark Alliance.
Yeah. Nick, what do you think of the current state of journalism right now in the United States?
It's sad. As a, I feel lucky to be employed in print journalism, and I think the film actually really captures this very well. Just the difference between today and back in the 90s, when print reporting was still much more powerful an industry than it is now. And of course, Dark Alliance is one of the first big major newspaper exposés to be published on the internet, and so it kind of happened at a really interesting time. And things have sure changed since then. And it's very difficult for news reporters to do their job when they can't make a living as investigative reporters. We need more Gary Webbs and, you know, less gawkers, I think.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you say that, because investigative reporting, people, somebody would be just amazing. And there's I went to journalism school, and I can remember all the heavy hitters, and everybody picked different people that they liked. They liked their particular style of writing. And so many of us aspire to do that and have the time and the resources to do it. And that's part of the problem, of course, now, as you were saying, and with papers, they don't have investigative journalists so much anymore. So that's fallen by the wayside. But how much do you think that hurts the information that gets out to the masses? Because those investigative reporters broke huge stories, and, you know, they would pursue it to no abandon, even at sometimes risking their own lives. And I think personally, some information now falls right through the cracks because there's no one there to catch it. What do you say?
I think that even at the height of investigating reporting, there were secrets that should have been uncovered that weren't. And so for sure now, where you have far fewer investigative reporters and serious newspapers and media outlets actually trying to do that type of work, there's much more that's secret. And so if it weren't for, quite frankly, these very controversial leakers like Snowden and Manning, for example, I think a lot of this stuff wouldn't be known to the public that we now know about. But those leaks did reveal, like, the level of abuse of you know, secrecy that the government has been perpetrating in recent years, and it was a total shock to the world because it had not been uncovered by journalists. So who knows, you know, how these secrets might have gotten out had the media been able to do its job more effectively. But a big thing about government secrecy is quite often not anything involving real secrets or secrets that are necessary, but just trying to keep the public from knowing about embarrassing behavior by our government. And for sure, Gary Webb, when he wrote Dark Alliance, embarrassed a lot of people and made the government look pretty bad.
Yeah, so you come along with, as we were saying, Kill the Messenger, and then you have Dark Alliance, now you have this movie. Did you have a chance to interact at all with anything to do with the movie?
Well, by the time the book came out, I was approached by the screenwriter who ended up writing the script, and so I worked closely with him, and also getting the Webb family involved in the project as well. And I was really lucky, actually, to be able to go on set once production finally started in Atlanta for a couple of days, and I was actually an extra because I found out that they were actually trying to hire real journalists as extras for the newsroom scenes. And so I pointed out to one of the producers that I happened to be a journalist and that I was available. So they were kind to include me in a couple of shots.
So was that pretty cool to be on the set to see that come to life?
It was cool. And in fact, I met other former journalists that had lost work that were actually getting work as extras portraying real journalists in film productions, which was, you know, a little bittersweet. But, you know, that's the way it goes. It was still very exciting, of course.
Yeah. And you said you're lucky to still be in the business. Of course, you're the managing editor of OC Weekly. How do you keep that pumping out there and people engaged in it?
Well, I mean, the main thing as an editor, which is a new position for me after being a reporter for so many years, is trying to motivate younger reporters and try to mentor them and kind of keep that faith alive. And when you do that effectively and when your writers are really invested in the stories they write, you know, it's something that sort of keeps the spirit of journalism alive, and it is its own reward, I guess, is the best way to put it. And I just feel it's a calling. Journalism is really something that I think, despite all of the dangers that it seems to be facing as a profession, is something that everybody who's involved with it should feel very lucky to be a part of.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. All right, you pumped out some more pulp, too. You also wrote Orange Sunshine and The Weed Runners. Tell me about The Weed Runners.
Yeah, so a big story in California over the last several years, of course, has been medical marijuana. And so Weed Runners is basically taking a look at how California functions in this underground pot economy and the kind of disconnect there is between the on the one hand, you have medical marijuana activists and patient groups that are trying to get access for something that's legal, at least in California, now in other states like Colorado and Washington State. And where the real money is typically made, which is all over the country. So it's a very tricky industry to cover, for example, because when I pitched the book originally, it looked like recreational marijuana was, you know, the wave of the future. Even in California, it looked very close to happening. And then all of a sudden, the Obama administration decided to crack down on the industry, and all my sources sort of went scattering a little bit. But it's certainly a very exciting industry to cover. And The Weed Runners tells the story through all these different characters of the last several years of the pot wars.
Yeah, and Orange Sunshine, what's that?
Orange Sunshine was probably the funnest story I've ever written. It was about a group of Laguna Beach hippies and surfers who basically befriended Timothy Leary, and they set up a big drug distribution network that took hash all the way from Afghanistan to the streets of Southern California and beyond, and they also invented their own form of LSD, which was Orange Sunshine, which was very famous back in the day. And it was kind of one of the last really mysterious groups of the 1960s that no one had ever really managed to penetrate, and I was able to track down a lot of members of the Brotherhood of Eternal Love. That was their name. The Rolling Stone magazine called them the Hippie Mafia. And, you know, I got them to tell their story for the first time, which was really exciting to do.
Yeah, no kidding. So this, so Kill the Messenger, the movie, have you already seen it?
I have, yes. I attended the premiere and saw it for the first time in New York on October 9th.
So I know you're not going to give us a thumbs down. Was it cool to sit there and see it? Was it good?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's a really, although it is a very serious story and a tragic one in some ways, the movie itself is actually very thrilling. You get to sort of follow Gary Webb as he discovers the secrets behind Dark Alliance and chasing after all these sources going down to Central America, for example. And then you see the aftermath of the story as well. So it's a really important movie, and I'm really glad that Focus Features made it, and especially glad that Jeremy Renner decided to not only produce this movie, which is how it got made, obviously, but also star as Gary Webb. It's one of his best performances ever, certainly, you know, his best performance since The Hurt Locker.
Yeah, I would imagine you had a chance to hang with him a little bit. Was he pretty cool?
Oh, super cool, yeah. Yeah, he's a very charismatic guy, and he really captures Gary Webb's personality very well. Having actually known Gary Webb, you know, at the time that he was doing this work, Renner really got it, and it really comes across in the movie.
Awesome. Can't wait to see it. Nick Scout, thanks so much for coming on America Tonight.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
all know that Berkey Water Purification Systems are the most trusted name in water filtration. As an authorized Berkey dealer for over 6 years and serving thousands of satisfied customers, the Berkey Guy offers amazing specials for Berkey Water Filtration Systems. The Berkey Light Systems include a set of self-sterilizing and recleanable black purification elements that purify water by removing chlorine, pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels and remove harmful chemicals such as herbicides and pesticides. Order the Berkey Light System today, complete with two black Berkey elements for only $231, and the Berkey Guy will ship your order free of charge. With the purchase of a Berkey Light, the Berkey Guy is also offering a set of fluoride and arsenic filters for only $39.99. That's over 30% off the retail price. Call the Berkey Guy at 1-877-886-3653. That's 1-877-886-3653. Or order online at GoBerkey.com. That's GoBerkey.com today.
The human body is extraordinary. Despite all the stresses we inflict upon it, it still works hard to stay in balance. Thousands upon thousands of people rely upon Heart and Body Extract to help their body stay balanced. This excellent 100% natural herbal formula helps maintain healthy blood pressure levels, cleans arteries, promotes good circulation, balances cholesterol, and more. HB Extract, paired with healthy lifestyle choices like good nutrition and exercise, can give you a life free of pain, sickness, and fear. Recapture your youthful vitality and experience your body healing itself with the aid of HB Extract. It's extremely effective and it starts working in just days. Visit HBExtract.com to learn more and to read scores of testimonials from satisfied customers. And we've never increased our price in over 10 years. That makes Heart and Body Extract as great a value now as it was the first day we sold it. A healthy heart is a happy heart. Call 866-295-5305 or go to HBExtract.com.
Next to water and food, you need a safe, storable fuel supply for your preparedness needs. Spare Fuel is the answer. Spare Fuel can be used in any gas-powered vehicle or generator. Spare Fuel is perfect for any unforeseen out-of-gas emergencies. Unlike gasoline, Spare Fuel is safe to store with your other supplies, and it can be stored for many years. Go to GetSpareFuel.com for special pricing. That's GetSpareFuel.com.
Good people need help. The Homeowners Association said we had weeds and fined us $25. We told them they had the wrong house. They said if we didn't pay it, they'd file a lien. Our attorney demanded photographs, witnesses, and told them if they couldn't provide this, they must cease and desist. Issue solved. Worry less and live more with LSProtection.com. That's LSProtection.com or call 855-340-SAVE. That's 855-340-7283.
Results will vary from case to case.
The show must go on isn't always true in the world of sports. Sometimes Mother Nature gets her way. That's next with me, the sports princess on Sports Shorts.
This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Nestle Pure Life Water, helping you drink better and live better by providing a zero-calorie alternative to sugary drinks. Visit us at nestle-purelife.us. When kids are playing, they often don't want to stop to keep hydrated. So send them out with a bottle of water and encourage them to take frequent drink breaks or call them inside for a quick sip. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
This week, the Royals and the Orioles were forced to postpone Game 3 because the rain was so steady it saturated the field at Kauffman Stadium in Kansas City. Major League VP Peter Woodfork said they wanted a game where they knew they could get through 9 innings of dry baseball, not risk player safety, or have uncomfortable fans. It wasn't always that way. There was a game in July of 2006, I remember, a storm that caused the biggest power outage in the city of St. Louis, one they still say is the biggest. It didn't end the game between the Cards and the Braves. Luckily for all the fans who sat through 75-mile-an-hour winds at Busch Stadium, the Cards won 8-3. Later, T-shirts were sold with the saying, "I survived the July 19, 2006 storm at Busch Stadium." Hoping to avoid those types of slogans, more games are called when it really looks like there's no hope that the weather will improve. I've sat through my fair share in the past. How about you? I'm the Sports Princess, and that's Sports Shorts.
Speaking of baseball, here as we make those last couple of right turns, how about the walk-off error that gave the Giants a 2-1 lead, and San Francisco leads that series 2-1. What a wild finish to that game. We'll go into that in a second. And then the Orioles and KC. Now Kansas City, as I was saying, I thought they were such a team of destiny. 3-0. Matt, you were probably keeping your eye on maybe both of these games, and it's not disappointing so far to see the finishes in baseball here. Both games I thought were pretty interesting. What'd you think?
Yeah, definitely. How crazy it is to win on a bunt walk-off.
Oh.
That's kind of ridiculous. And then you have KC, who they're up 3-0 now.
Wow.
Another game at home, and they have yet to lose a playoff game this
year.
That's
crazy. Oh, so crazy. You know, and it was a close game. What was the final score? 2-1,
yeah,
right?
2-1, and KC came back, and they got a run. I think it was in the, what was it, the seventh inning, I think, when they had the go-ahead run? Maybe the eighth. I think it was the seventh.
No, it was the sixth inning.
Sixth inning,
they got a run, yeah.
And then, yeah, I mean, the KC bullpen is just untouchable right now, and that's how they're winning, pitching and defense.
Yeah, they just find a way to get it done. I mean, they've won 10 straight postseason games. Like you said, they haven't lost all seven this year in their first playoff appearance in 29 years. Wow. I mean, so this is an incredible task for the Orioles. They have to come all the way back. They'd have to win four games to win it.
Which
unlikely.
It's possible. It's just not very likely, and I don't see it happening. I really think, you know, it's the clinching game. You're at home. You're up 3-0. All you need to do is get a couple runs early. You start getting the heads of the Orioles. And then, I mean, once you get it to the late innings of that bullpen, I mean, it's pretty much over.
Yeah, I agree. And you talk about the Giants and their win on the throwing error. 10 innings, 2-1 lead. And this was, like we said, this was another game that was really close. 5-4 was the final score in it. But, I mean, it was wild to see that happen. And, you know, he fouled off a bunt try, then pushed one to the left side of the mound, I think, remembering watching a little bit of it. And then it sails past second, and, you know, I'll tell you, this series has been a tough series, but they're on top of it right now.
Yeah, and, I mean, the throwing error hits on the pitcher when he just – he was obviously hurrying, trying to get the out at one and then have them look to make sure the run doesn't score because the runners were going from first and second, you know, advancing to the next base. And he threw it just wide left of the first baseman. It goes in the outfield, and the runner easily scores, and the game's over. So, I mean, I don't think I've seen a playoff game end like that before that I can remember, at least. I don't know. It's pretty crazy.
You know what was wild about this game, too? In this game, Hudson hit Lackey and with a pitch on his left elbow right in the fifth inning. So it made Lackey the first pitcher to be hit by a pitch in the postseason since Steve Carlton, who I followed when I was a kid.
Wow.
From the Phillies. I know. Still think about it, the lefty. Was plunked by Tommy John. I like how you said that. Tommy John in the 77 National League Championship Series. I mean, that's how far you have to go back. That's crazy.
Well, and obviously, when you're the one, I mean, not relative at all, but I pitch in softball. Well, I used to, and then I got hit too many times by line drives up the middle, and that's the one thing. When I never try to go up the middle because, as a pitcher, I knew that people would try to hit it back up the middle of me if I was the one who was doing it. So it's just like a cardinal rule where if you're the pitcher, you're not trying to hit the guy because you're going to be in the batter's box and, you know, you're probably going to get plunked unless, I mean, this is a different situation when you're in a playoff game. But if the score was different, I definitely would have think that there would have been retaliation.
Yeah, absolutely. Hey, I got to ask you this, too. This is crazy. When would we think that this would happen again with the Cowboys? And a Cowboy was arrested, the reserve running back, Joseph Randall, arrested for shoplifting from a mall on Monday night. I mean, here's a guy who makes like $500,000, and I guess it was one of those questions of, you know, I don't want to pay for my underwear, because he stole underwear and cologne from a Dillard's store in a mall.
Well, the first thought for me was, wow, Dillard's is still around, because I haven't heard that name since the 80s. So that was a little flashback for me, because they're not around Minnesota anymore. But Yeah, and another thing, too, I was thinking about picking up this guy in fantasy because the Cowboys have been running the ball so well, and DeMarco Murray's getting a lot of tread on the tires, so he's his backup, and I'm thinking, oh, this would be a savvy move, but now I don't know what to think. But how dumb are you to I think there has to be some kind of more, like, explanation to this story, because I can't believe that if you're making $500,000 a year, and obviously there's other things, living expenses and whatnot, but you're going to tell me that you can't afford to buy underwear? And
well,
who's wearing cologne anyways these days?
Well, and the cologne is the most expensive part of that. It was a two-pack black polo underwear, so that was about $39.50, and this is like The Price is Right. And the Gucci Guilty Black Cologne is what it was called, $84.
I don't know. My generation is not really wearing cologne anymore, so I don't know.
Well, he's your generation,
so that's why I'm saying I don't know what he's doing. Because I remember in high school, people were wearing cologne, and then as soon as I got to college, it was like, no, that is not a thing to do anymore. And I don't know anybody my age that is wearing cologne anymore.
Yeah, you know what? Cologne is passé. There is nothing worse than a man who lathers up and smells like a giant piece of cologne.
Oh,
I mean, it's like overwhelming.
Fill up the room with it? Yeah.
Yeah.
That is so annoying.
That's what it is. It's because the cologne is too overwhelming, so it's obvious that you're on the make or you're spiffed up.
Yeah, you gotta be
there's
a
only
little
two
more
reasons.
Subtle.
Yeah, there's only two reasons. One, you're trying to pick up a woman, or two, this is your going out cologne from the 70s, I guess. Because, you know, God, that's what men would wear, married men. They weren't trying to pick up women then, but that was like a, hey, I got my nice polo shirt on and my cologne lather all over me.
Well, clearly Mr. Randall needs to go find his Marshalls or TJ Maxx and get something more in his price range, because you can find some deals right there. And I don't know what it is that you... I mean, it boggles my mind that someone make. I mean, it's like the Winona Ryder thing, where she was, you know, caught shoplifting. She's making millions of dollars. It's just like, what are you doing? You don't need to be doing that.
Yeah.
I just don't get it.
Yeah, there's something more to that story. I think it's crazy, too. But it could be a psychological thing. He's not going to get suspended. And they say they're going to fine him. They'll give him some kind of fine, the Cowboys will. But they're not going to suspend him.
But is the league going to suspend him, though?
For cologne and panties, underwear.
I don't know. Hey, their players are it's hypersensitive NFL these days. I have no idea what's going on, and I don't know if he's going to get suspended or not.
Can you imagine getting that call? Roger Goodell, we're on the bat phone. We got a problem with another bad boy in the NFL. He stole some cologne, Gucci cologne, and he got some black polo underwear. What should we do with Randall? Do we need to suspend him for 6 games or what? It could be the start of something new in the NFL.
The other thing, too, that is just mind-blowing to me is he's a Dallas Cowboy. I mean, that's the number one team in all of Texas, in most of the country. He's obviously going to be recognizable. I just don't understand.
Why? I just have to say that. Why? Why would you do that?
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take that first step towards driving more customers.